Imagine running an accounting firm, getting to work with clients all day who are passionate about something that you were passionate about or something you super enjoyed, while also making piles of money. That's the goal on Build This Accounting Niche. Today, we're talking about summer camps because it feels like something that could be like, you know, kind of mission oriented. I don't know about you. I have very fond memories of camps growing up. And it's one of those things where you think about it and you're like, eh. Is that really a thing? Like, are there really that many people that do it? I looked into it. Boy, howdy, is that a thing? It is big business, and it is plenty big for you to build a firm around. So let's go build the premier firm for summer camps. So every week I run a list of 50 like specialization ideas and I put them on social media. You may have seen this one from last week. And I pick one that is kind of my favorite and I go a little bit deeper on it. Man, this one I geeked on. I think this one jumped out at me because I just signed up all my kids for a summer camp. It's a good thing my wife doesn't listen to this. She'd be like, you didn't sign up the kids. I got to watch myself on the main channel videos, but this is a safe space. But what I loved as I started digging into it was how, you know, on the outside, you see something like this. It is a list, a bulleted list of specialization ideas. And I know nothing about summer camps besides they were a gay old time when I was growing up. So I have like a very surface level understanding of them. And as soon as I kind of start poking through that online, I'm like, holy smokes, there's a bunch of complexity here. I can't imagine very many things more anxiety inducing than being responsible for hundreds of children at a time. My wife will leave one of them with me and I'm like, got WebMD preloaded in the browser. She'll leave me like 1500 words of instructions. It's a little bit that bad. It's not super that bad. But imagine running a camp with a whole bunch of people. These are very talented folks running these operations. And there's a lot of complexity there. There's rules, there's compliance. It looks a little different state to state. What do you do with the money? How do you account for it all? How do you even tax? And so on the outside, you're like, man, can you really build a firm around that? Buddy, you absolutely can. So we're going to rapid fire through some really interesting things I found online. Not to make you go build an accounting firm for summer camps. I mean, if you want to, knock yourself out. But each time we go down this rabbit hole, I think you pick up a few ideas for that thing that you are super into, be it remote control car racing. I was super into that growing up. Yoga studios, handmade canoe building, woodworking, whatever it is. The path to building a more profitable accounting firm is serving a more specific type of pain where those people feel that pain more acutely than the clients that you have now, so they will happily pay more for you to do the same work. The net effect, you're actually a better advisor because you know that stuff better and you're running a more profitable firm. And you can build around something you love. If you love golf today, but in 5 years you don't, great, build a new niche, sell that practice. The worst thing you can do, I think, is keep things general, like exclusively keep that firm general. So whether you're building a firm from scratch or whether you are building a better firm from within your firm, which is how all change happens, one client at a time, hopefully pick up a couple ideas here for how to attract a more specific type of customer. So first thing I always do here, number one, I head out to Google, how to start a X business. In this case, how to start a sports camp business. We learned last week when we did this around, what was it? Private charter aviation businesses. Oftentimes the top results when you do this Google search will be SEO fluff. And that was the case here too. Maybe one half to two thirds of like the top 20 results were just like fluff articles written for SEO. Nothing particularly helpful there. Unless you're gonna like buy a placement in those SEO articles, I don't know that there's much value. But there were some bangers in even just the top 10 results. So the second is from the American Camp Association. Of course there's an association for summer camps. Why wouldn't there be? And so the article that it gives you when you do this search, how to start a sports camp business, super helpful article with a whole bunch of resources. At one point, they point to, and so when I read this, I'm thinking, how can I get my firm in there? Like, how can I weasel in a mention or something like that? Midway through, they point to a sample business plan that's from the SBA. Buddy, I can do better than that. Like, I can give you something totally better than a boilerplate business plan from the SBA. Let's work with maybe a few of the clients that we have to like build a template for a starting point that clients can kind of work with. We can put that on our website. We can let ACA put it on theirs. Further down in this ACA article, they've got a state compliance guide, state by state. I could probably help with that. Even if it's just in my state, even if I maybe don't have the confidence yet to put my expertise down in these other places, I can at least speak into giving them a more like comprehensive level of support for the state that I'm in. Further down, it says, quote, consider finances, including cash flow, investors, and realistic budgets. That bullet point's not exactly comprehensive, but I could certainly like help them with a template for cash planning, your very first day camp, like an Excel file with some drivers or a PDF or something like that. You find compared to, like we forget what experts we are, like what know-it-alls we are and how exposed we are to really smart people. Like even though we got a lot of clients that are knuckleheads, a lot of those conversations you're having are actually pretty high-level conversations with people who within their domain are pretty darn successful. And so when you see an article like this from a big group, oftentimes it'll be like, that's not a real, like, it's not a real high bar. And I can probably help here. Now, other stuff that the ACA does that I could totally get involved in, webinars. They do live webinars and pre-recorded webinars. Finance, accounting, compliance, payroll, stuff like that. This is something that every single camp is going to run into. But nobody goes into the business of running camps so that they can do this stuff. Like, in many ways, we are taking out the financial garbage. Like, we're doing this stuff that is a byproduct of running a business that nobody wants to do. But somebody has to show them how to do it or do it for them. And so usually the solution here is show them how to do it or how it works. And then they go, whew, can you just do it for me? Nice work. You got another client. ACA has accreditation. So the camps themselves can become ACA accredited. And there's a whole bunch of hurdles to this. Basically, you apply and there's thresholds like it has to be, you know, over 3 days. And there's requirements around staffing and a lot of the logistics of how the event is run and the like the group behind it. But there's value to being ACA accredited. And that's something that my team can totally help with. If I've got, this is one thing where we kind of have these self-limiting beliefs around, well, that's not accounting or that's not compliance. If you work with people in this space, you see into more of these people's businesses than almost anyone else. So if you're not going to, if you can't be an advisor to them, who will be, right? You think the person that's just trying to stumble through it themselves is going to know how to do it better than you? This is where you could totally sell a package that's like, you know, helps them put together that application or reviews their application, like helps put together whatever resources they need to increase the likelihood that they're able to get in. And along the way, the ACA is going to love you for it. Like if you're steering more people to this and making it accessible for them, you're not only helping the people who are trying to get accreditation, but you're helping the ACA by feeding more people into that funnel. And like building that ACA relationship, that then becomes really valuable. One of the perks they list as being like an ACA member and accredited by the ACA is, quote, business partnerships and vendors. You know, like the deal the AICPA gets you on buying a Mercedes-Benz, that sort of thing. Do enrolled agents have something like that? I just love that when you turn up at like an AICPA conference and there's like Mercedes parked in the middle of the expo hall. And you always wonder, how did they get here? Did they take it all apart into a bunch of pieces and then bring it in a box and then reassemble it? It's like a ship in a bottle type situation. Gang, this episode is sponsored in part by Accruer. Have you seen this one yet? We did a demo day on the main channel for it a couple few months back. So Accruer, all it does is it connects to your QuickBooks Online files. And whenever it sees like an expense or an invoice or anything like that in the description, I think the phrasing is for period, like date to date, it will automatically post journal entries to accrue that revenue, that expense, that payroll journal entry even, to accrue that across periods. It will prorate it by like the number of days in a month. Even if you go in and you change that down the road, you change that description to a different date, it will update all those accrual journal entries. So if you've got clients doing contracts where that revenue gets recognized over, you know, a year or two, a number of months, and you got a whole bunch of those going on at the same time, makes that super simple. If you got clients doing prepaid expenses and you actually track them, makes that super simple as well. The payroll journal thing was actually really cool to me because it will then like figure it out based on the number of days in either period. It's all super smart. By a company called FinOptimal, they're building like a whole bunch of these little kind of tools for public accountant folks like us. To check this one out, head over to accruer.com or check out the link in the show notes. This episode is sponsored in part by Cloud Accountant Staffing. Y'all know I'm a big advocate of hiring offshore. One of the biggest changes I made in my firm, we transitioned a legacy firm from 100% onshore local hiring to 100% distributed US and then 100% distributed globally hiring. And honestly, is the best thing we did. It virtually alleviated all of our hiring pains, completely changed how we thought about staffing projects and the type of work that we wanted to bring on. Because you know what? The folks we hired offshore, really freaking good. A lot of misconceptions around the type of people that you hire offshore because your enterprises will oftentimes use offshore folks for like menial work. Absolutely not the case. There are tens of thousands of people working for big four accounting firms, you know, offshore outside the US. You can get folks that can do anything from tax to junior level stuff to super senior level stuff. But try to do that yourself, figure it all out yourself. That's going to be hard. It's going to be scary. Really good place to start. Cloud Accountant Staffing. They will hold your hand through that process. Their story is super simple. An accounting firm in the US hired a bunch of people in the Philippines, fell in love with them, but didn't fall in love with the fees they were having to pay to the staffing companies that were managing these employees. So they built their own solution, and now they're starting to pull other accountants in. I'd encourage you, a big tipping point for me was when I was like, I'm gonna stop being opinionated on this and just try to learn. And so I talked with other practitioners, I talked with some of the vendors that would like help you get into offshoring. That really opened things up for me. So if you've been on the fence, I'd encourage you to at least learn about it. If you start heading down that path, consider Cloud Accountant Staffing. Well, this ACA Business Partnerships and Vendors page, it is fascinating. It's got a whole bunch of categories, and at the top, featured businesses. I'm sure the folks that are paying extra to be at the very top. But most interesting to me is a section around business and finance. That's me. Each of these have subsections and then a list of companies. So for example, in this business and finance section, there's a subsection for credit card processing. If I go in there, you see Click, Funfangle, Joombula. Gosh, really running out of startup names. Merchant Cost Consulting, Trinity. They're all these like payment processors, basically. There's a subsection here, payroll processing, and there is one company under there, Sprintax, Anna Fitzpatrick. You go, girl. Is this a tax firm? Did I just say you go, girl? It is. It's an accounting firm. Good for you. There is one provider listed under payroll on this page. Now, what would like accounting work, tax work come under? There's a section here for financial services, and there is one accounting firm in here. Luca. I know Luca. Who's Luca? Are you listening to this right now? Please post in the comments of the YouTube video if you are. Trey Fulmer, I know that name. So you got two accounting firms listed in here. This is great. Now, sometimes these things can be gold. Like, I've got a buddy who owned a firm and they got listed on a page for a software vendor who sells software to interior design businesses. They're like the leading platform for those folks. And they have a little page with a list of advisors they recommend. And they were like at the top and they got more leads from that than they would ever know what to do with. So sometimes it can be gold. Doesn't mean you necessarily want to work with all those people, but it's better than nothing. Other times, it could be like the Intuit Pro Advisor Network, and you get either absolutely nothing or nothing you ever actually want to do. But if nothing else, it's also like a stamp you can put on your website that adds a lot of legitimacy to you. You're some sort of, you know, ACA partner or something like that. I'm sure they have graphics that you can use to put that on your website. Like, congratulations, you're like the best accounting firm for those folks overnight. A couple other helpful results and just in the top 10 Google search results for searching how to start a sports camp business. Another one I jotted down, company called Upper Hand. It's basically a tech or it's like a software and advising company for sports facilities and camps. Whole bunch of information around how their platform works for running summer camps. And the kind of hero article for how to run a summer camp has three free templates in there. Like, there's a list with several big old buttons for grab our free template for this and that. There's a staff background check template, an athlete evaluation, an incident and injury response kit. But on a roundup list of things you need to consider if you're starting a summer camp, got to be something finance and compliance in there, right? And I can totally weasel my way in to be like, hey, here's a template that you could totally use, tinker with to put right here. I just want my name on it. In this case, if you want to download any of these templates, you have to give them your email address. Bonus points if I can negotiate getting anyone's email who tries to download my template specifically. That would be gold. Just don't get spammy with it. We talked about not too long ago when we were talking email newsletters. If you go out and buy a list of email addresses, the likelihood that anybody's going to care when you start emailing them is generally pretty low. In fact, it can be a little risky because a lot of them will start sending your stuff to junk and it could hurt like the deliverability of emails from your domain. So if you do get something like that, you know, I would probably send them like one email giving them the opportunity to opt into your newsletter or some sort of drip email campaign. But company like this, software company, a lot of people hitting that page every single day. If you have a template that you could also put on your own website, you've already built it, like let them use it as well, and it can get you some more exposure. This company also has a blog. It has an online community for folks running camps and sports facilities. That sounds like a great place to be hanging out, being helpful, if not just hanging out and learning. They do white papers. They have an ambassador program, which looks like it's basically a way to sell affiliate, which actually isn't a bad gig, particularly for larger, more expensive platforms. Like if you can be a reseller or a firm that, because there are firms that will like exclusively work with, you know, this construction ERP or something like that. And that's just what you build your firm around. If you're doing that, you can actually make a good amount of money reselling the software itself. Any sort of anything that is even a sniff of product revenue, like that recurring fixed revenue that isn't driven by human inputs, like that's a win. And then they also have a quote unquote partner program that will let folks get like better access to the data in their platform, it looks like. So you could totally build, for example, an advisory package around this. So for folks that use the Upper Hand platform, you know, we're the only firm that has advisory packages built specifically for you and making use of that data. The third Google search result I want to call out was actually a video, and it's the biggest video for basically doing sports camps. So how to starting sports camps from scratch from a channel called Make Money Coaching Sports. And this guy looks like he's got a whole bunch of templates that people can go out and download, like all sorts of guides that they can swipe. If it's me, I want to get a mention in those guides. There are, I mean, hundreds of people tuning into this guy's content, if not thousands, every single day. And for me to be a barnacle on the investment and the effort that that person's making, like a good barnacle, but for me to be along for the ride and have my stuff embedded in there, that's super valuable. Whether I got to pay for it, whether I do some free work for this guy, whether I can convince him that I actually know what I'm saying, so it's actually just helpful to everyone if he does plug me in there. We, at my firm, actually, we got plugged into this like very, very specific network. And it all happened because in a really weird kind of random way, my partner got connected with a guy. It's basically in an MLM type of thing. He started doing the work for a guy that was pretty high up in this MLM thing. And we started pre-COVID. So the MLMs, most of them seem to really take off during COVID. This client had a YouTube video, which by normal YouTube standards, like mainstream standards, is not a huge number of views by any means. But it's like 45 minutes soup to nuts, how to run this type of business. And like 40 minutes into it, he mentioned my partner's name. And that drove years of work. Like, I mean, a lot of money of work. And it's just this one reference buried in this video where people were going out and watching YouTube. That stuff is gold, man. That's one thing I tell my advertisers on my content. I'm like, YouTube especially is very unique. I can shoot a demo of your tool and people will watch it for the next 7 years. So like, don't give me a link that you want people to click on the next 30 days. Don't get too caught up on like, is it publishing this week or next week? Like the reality is that stuff has value for years and years and years and years. And so if there's somebody out there that's speaking to the audience that you want to get in front of, man, make them your friend because they're making big investments and getting in front of the same people that you want to get in front of. Okay, those are three helpful things from the Google search results. Like honestly, that's enough to keep you plenty busy, it seems like. Let's talk about events though. We're gonna look at events and then magazines and then podcasts and then consultants that I found. Events, the ACA has an events page with events, like multiple events per week around the country. Many of them are regional. Be a good thing to look out for the events that are near you, but they have a big annual national conference. This is the American Camp Association or something like that. So this year it's in New Orleans. Big old 57 page booklet for attendees. It is a full week, 7 days of sessions. Every other page in this planner thing, this PDF, is a sponsor. And every sponsor is somebody that you can co-market with. path. So I always tell new software companies in our space, if you want to get trust from accountants quickly, one of the easiest ways to do it is co-marketing with a brand that already has the trust of the category. So they're always looking at ways to put on webinars, events, like, you know, events at conferences, stuff like that. And if you can buddy up with some of the folks that are already doing that, like kicking some money, find some way to support them doing that, it's a great way to get your name kind of associated with them and kind of jump ahead. Because if you're just going to do it yourself, like you're going to run your own event or something like that, that's a much bigger lift than being able to do it with someone who already has trust and a following. So this pamphlet is full of all sorts of software platforms and consultants and everything imaginable, folks that are working with the camp industry, and everything from like food suppliers, snack suppliers even. And some of these things may not seem relevant to what you do, but there's also a part of this that is just being visible and part of the community too, like showing up. You know, a very obvious tie-in is like a software platform. Yeah, I wanna get in on the software platform's webinars and run a webinar on how to manage your payroll, your accounting, or tax compliance, or something like that. That totally makes sense. But there's also bigger picture things that are like, hopefully this space matters enough to you for it to be like, my firm's actually gonna do X number of service days a year, and we're gonna go to these camps, or we're gonna volunteer at this or that. And I'm gonna build a relationship with, you know, the snack suppliers, because we're all working to support the same group. Like, it doesn't all have to be exclusively Scrooge McDuck. How do I squeeze everything I can out of this? There is value in like just being present and visible. This episode is sponsored in part by LiveFlow. If you've ever thought about selling better paying advisory projects, folks who will pay you top dollar to do a bit of coaching with them each month, maybe this is a thing that you're already doing. I think one of the most common blockers is not knowing where to start and being overwhelmed by the tools that are out there to do the job. And when a client comes to you for advising, I don't know that what they have front of mind is, what kind of wildly complex reporting package do you have to put in front of me, old friend? Now, I think they just want to talk to you. I think that's probably what they want. That's why people use LiveFlow for advising. It gives your spreadsheets brains. It connects your spreadsheet to QuickBooks. It'll auto-sync data back and forth to Google Sheets. Because sometimes a spreadsheet, friends, sometimes it's all you need. Now, LiveFlow's got a whole pile of advisory templates on their site. If you haven't sold advisory before, these things are a great place to start. Literally spin it up, connect it with LiveFlow, and Bob's your uncle. It's pushing that data in. You've got some really good talking points to go through with your client. And because it is a spreadsheet, it's totally customizable. You can add stuff, remove stuff. You can even move cells around and they will continue syncing. You can reference the syncing cells, the sunk cells, reference the syncers from like another sheet if you're building your own sort of summary report. If you're layering advisory on top of bookkeeping work, kind of puts that advisory reporting on autopilot for you. Now, they recently kicked off a consolidations functionality. Makes it super easy to roll up a bunch of different companies. If you work with company groups, as I once did, that is a massive pain in my hiney at the end of each month or quarter when we got to roll all that stuff up together. LiveFlow now makes that super easy whether those companies have matching chart of accounts or not. So if you're thinking advisory opportunities, think about LiveFlow. It's a way to build all that stuff right into a spreadsheet where you're probably already pretty comfortable. Learn more about that one. Check out the link in the show notes. This episode is brought to you in part by TeamUp, helping you recruit top Filipino accountants without any ongoing monthly fees. The difference between TeamUp and all the other offshoring options is that TeamUp helps you hire staff directly. No middleman. You work directly with your new hire in the Philippines. Hire the person, not the company. Guys, gals, gang, here's just a few reasons to hire directly. You have access to higher level talent. Makes sense. You have complete control over team culture and training. They keep 100% of what you pay them. And it's a lot more affordable for you, so you can retain your team for the long term. TeamUp can source accountants with experience working at US or Australian firms, familiar with tools like Xero, QBO, and Dex. Also recruit specialist roles, team leaders, tax specialists, administrative assistants. Thought experiment. What if you had an executive assistant for the first time this tax season? Just throwing it out there. What would they do? Start at that email video I did on the main channel recently. Get help with that stanky old inbox. I digress. TeamUp recruits these talented folks for a flat one-time fee of 4,000 US American dollars. That's it, 4K one time. Somebody at Robert Half just did a spit take. Robert Half reference. We ever gonna get Robert Half to sponsor this pod? Not anymore. And they can connect you with an affordable employer of record if you need help with payroll and compliance. once you hire that person. Big fan of hiring in the Philippines. You know I did a bunch of that. Check out the link in the description to learn more about TeamUp. Now, ways that you can work with events like this. Sponsorships, to a degree, but I'm 50% like, yes, sponsorships are a good use of money. We, especially accounting firms, forget how just oftentimes one great client can blow the doors off the ROI from a seemingly expensive sponsorship. Like most firms are going to be like, why am I going to drop 10 grand on this thing? And it's like, you get a good client or two, and you've like, that was already a slam dunk decision. Not to mention the actual compounding benefits of attracting great clients and being visible. So 50% of me says that when it comes to sponsorship. The other 50% of me says that event sponsorships are like for suckers or for the more mature companies with the deeper pockets. And instead, I want to find the side door. I don't want to go through the front door. I want to find the side door. Like, what's the way in where I can get on stage without having to spend money? And there's almost always a way to do that. Pitch a session. We are at such an inherent advantage just in the specificity of what we do. There's not going to be people kicking down the doors of these conferences to talk about accounting or tax or payroll, but everybody who runs these businesses, like, they need this content and they struggle with this stuff. And when you come to these groups and you're like, hey, here's my expertise, what would be most helpful for them to hear? They're probably going to eat it up. They're probably going to be really excited about it. Another thing you can do is support a sponsor or exhibitor who is there. So offer to hang out in their booth and talk with people. Many of them buy sponsorship packages that gives them a booth, but also a talk, like an onstage talk. Like, if you can get up on stage to help a sponsor, if they'll give you a 10-minute slot, like in a bigger talk where they can interview you and talk about how, you know, their platform supports your clients or something like that. Man, that is a no-cost way for you to not only get into the event, but get on stage, because exhibitors are, as part of sponsorship packages, are given, you know, X number of entry tickets, and oftentimes they don't use them all. I've like backdoored my way into conferences this way and events in our space, but like that could save you the cost of having to buy a ticket, of, you know, whatever a sponsorship package would be to get up on stage. Now, ultimately, like, these events exist because you have sponsors. So they're like, we have to be mindful of that. If you're not in the scrappy startup stage, like, consider actually supporting these events, but also just show up and mingle. There's a tremendous amount of value that just can come from that and hanging out. Whenever I talk with software vendors, I'm like, if you're not going to have a booth, you still got to be there. Like, just show up, because you're going to meet people. And there's so many things that just happen by being in the room. In the end of this pamphlet, this 57-page planner thing for the event, there's 15 pages of exhibitors. All those people are paying to be there, paying to be in there. They have budgets to work with the ACA and get in front of people. Those same budgets down the road can go into supporting your firm, like sponsoring your newsletter. If you got a niche for folks that run camps, these companies will happily like also sponsor your stuff. They could come in and present a webinar to your clients. So like, you don't have to do 100% of that yourself. Those exhibitors are great co-marketing partners if you can start to build relationships there, because you're all working for the same people in the end. Magazines. Turns out there's magazines for this stuff. I'm not really a magazine consumer. I think the only magazine I'm a subscriber on is American Cinematographer. My kids, on the other hand, they actually have a bunch of magazine. Highlights, a classic. You don't get the dino stickers anymore. There's this Lego magazine they get that's really good. Seems like they're always getting magazines. But there is a camping magazine from the ACA. How many people have picked up that and been disappointed to find what it was actually about? But again, with all these magazines, you've got a whole bunch of sponsors. All of these magazines have a bunch of write-ups about people who are starting camps that you could potentially do work for. People supporting the camp industry. And just like we saw last week in that private air charter magazine, there was a whole like 4-page write-up about a gal who got into interior design, but then specialized in interior design for jet interiors. Equally interesting story. Equally, maybe that's being generous. You're an accountant. You decided to specialize in working with camps. That's a pretty interesting story. Like, you could even maybe get a write-up about you and your firm and what you do in these magazines. When it comes to these magazines, another way to offer your support is writing for them. Like, start with writing an article. If these magazines have a great distribution and a lot of people see them, you know, a recurring column in there could be great, but don't start with that. Don't say, hi, my name's Steve. I would like to write a column for you. That's a big commitment and a hard thing to say yes to. Just say, hey, this is my expertise. I do it for a bunch of people. I would love to write an article for you on this. Tell me what the requirements would be. Happy to send it over. If you don't like it, no big deal. podcasts. There's a whole bunch of them. This is always shocking to me. I'm telling you, gang, like, this is the power of the internet. The internet has so many little nooks and crannies that you never see because we live in algorithms that only show us the stuff that we're into, not highlights from camp podcasts. But the fact that all these nooks and crannies exist online mean you can build such a more specific firm than was ever possible before. 9 camp podcasts you should be listening to. Camp Owners Podcast, exploring ideas and best practices for professionals in the private camp industry. Day Camp Podcast, Campwire Podcast, The Sherry Group Pod, Inspiring Radical Empathy, The Scamp Life, Camp Code, Beyond Camp, The Camp Hacker. These are all real podcasts that you can sponsor. You can go on as a guest or do your own thing. Make your own. Last, consultants. We didn't dig into this too much last week, and consultants are actually a great hub. Not unlike influencers who are putting a lot of work into getting in front of the people who you also want to work with. All I did, I Googled summer camp consultant, and boy, are there a lot of them. Camphacker.tv, summer camp marketing consultant and professional development. Whole bunch of stuff. They sell like digital products. They've got a software platform. It looks like a paid community. Man, so many ways that you could be helpful there. Camp-consulting.com, the camp connection, the camp consultant. All these people that look like they've actually been doing this for like decades. All great people to build relationships with, have in the Rolodex, find a way to be helpful to. Don't approach and say, how you can help me? How can, hey you, how you help me? You approach and you say, hey, how I help you? Find a way to be valuable to them and don't underestimate the value of you just being you with what you know, accounting, compliance, payroll, whatever it is. Now, totally a big enough space to build a super cool firm around, but what you always find when you go into a space, on the outside, you're like, oh, dental, like, yeah, I could build a firm around dental. But once you get into it, you learn all the people there and all the vendors and you go to the conference and you're like, oh, wow, this is a big ecosystem. There's a whole bunch of people. There's snack suppliers for camps. There's software platforms for camps. You find when you get in there, there's always another level deeper and probably another level deeper beyond that, but you don't find that deeper level until you take the first step. And so camps, that's interesting. But in every one of these situations, you know, private air charter included, there's probably a level beyond that that's even more interesting. So that could be sports camps, church camps, camps for folks with disabilities, grown-up camps, you know, the larger ecosystem of folks serving the camp industry. Don't be afraid to stop at day camps because you can probably go even further. And in general, when you go further, you're getting more specific about the pains that you're solving, can command higher fees, and will genuinely do a better job for people than you will ever do if you're just solving folks more generally. And if you can marry it with something that you're passionate about, gang, that's the dream. That's super cool. Whether it's something you enjoy, whether it is more missions oriented for you, life is too short to be worried about making your hobby your job. If you ruin it by making it your job, I bet along the way you'll probably find something else that you love. Because the alternative is like actively not pursuing the things that you love. How is that good advice? I have a theory that whole thing came from actually like employers trying to get employees to like shut up and work. That's got to be what that comes from, right? Don't go pursue your passions. Keep just give me that TPS report. Like that has to be where that whole thing came from. And I'll be honest, until maybe 6 months ago, I just accepted that as truth. Like don't make your passions your job until I'm like, well, that's kind of what I did and I'm having a good time. I learned that I really loved making videos that would help people. And so then that became my job. And do I regret it? And I'm like, no, like it's kind of great. I can definitely see myself burning out someday. I could see myself not loving it forever. But if I compare the journey I'm on now and the new things that I'm discovering that I love and how that has like enriched my life compared to having never done anything different and just kept doing the same thing until the end of time. Oh my gosh, take that new path because you never know what could be there like waiting for you. What a nice feel good way to wrap it up, huh? Okay, everybody grab hands and let's sing the outro music together. Mm-hmm.